win on Sunday in the Grey Cup, Bo Levi Mitchell will take care of the football. And that to me is the most important thing. Biggest stage of his career, and I don't worry about that because the dude is as even keel as they come. Like, I don't think anything rattles Bo Levi Mitchell, but he'll take care of the football. Not any needless turnovers. That's a good defense they've got. And not forcing the ball. If he needs to take a sack, he'll take the sacks because they bring a really, like, with Hickman on the edge, with Laurent and Gadosh in the middle, that's a really good defensive front in Hamilton. So take care of the football. Take the sacks. Throw the ball away when there's nothing there and just be smart about it. I think he's fully capable of doing it. I think he will do it. But if the Stampeders are to win, Bo Levi Mitchell will take care of the football.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. The least amount of turnovers is going to be more successful for the Stampeders. So Bo Levi Mitchell doesn't throw any interceptions. That really impressed me in the West Final, was no turnovers, and I think that's going to go a long way in the Grey Cup.
And those are your three burning questions on a Tuesday afternoon game day from the Honda Center in Anaheim. Did you know the Flames don't win there very often? The Big Show continues next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary's team.
Verify ready to go for one.
Canada's team. Ignition. Sportsnet 960 The Fan brings you every game all season with our play-by-play team of Derek Wills and Peter Loubardius.
It's back on the road for the Flames. It's a trip to California, which begins tonight in Anaheim. Free game from Shanks on the air and online at 7. Play-by-play, Flames and Ducks at 8.
On air every time the Flames hit the ice. This is Calgary Flames Radio, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary Flames Hockey is brought to you by Alberta Motor Transport Association and Calgary Lock and Safe.
Nature is a constant battle for survival. Species versus environment. Alpha versus beta. Early bird versus worm. Only the fittest earn the right to live another day. On Black Friday, it's no different in the retail wilderness. You lock antlers with the competition or you miss out on the best prices of the year. So get on top of the shopping food chain with a savings frenzy from Wholesale Sports. Starting Thursday, get the edge you want with up to 60% off the gear you need. Wholesale Sports, Canada's outdoor outfitter.
My name is Walter O'Brien, and I'm a genius.
Mondays on City.
I created a tactical team called Scorpion that's made up of the smartest people on the planet.
Four brilliant minds.
Mechanical prodigy, world-class shrink, a human calculator.
This one team.
You want to do something meaningful? Here's your chance.
Is an army of pure genius.
We're at 100. This thing doesn't have airbags.
Well, you know what? These speeds are useless. Go faster.
Scorpion, 10 Monday on City.
Skates? Check. Extra pair of gloves? Check.
Dad, here, take this.
Big Chief Beef Jerky. Thanks, sweetheart.
Hockey heroes come in many different forms. Big Chief Meat Snacks are here. Whether you need the energy to play or to cheer from the sidelines.
Go, Dad, go! That's my daddy.
Beef jerky, beef sticks, or new beef and cheese. You'll enjoy these delicious, high-protein, 100% beef snacks. Big Chief, proudly Canadian. Visit BigChiefMeatSnacks.com.
Bite me!
Could it be the best Jetta ever and the most rewarding? We think so. Hi, Jim here from South Center Volkswagen, South Calgary's VW dealer. The 2015 Jetta has arrived, an IIHS top safety pick. Check it out online. And it comes standard with Bluetooth and rearview camera for as little as $199 per month with zero down. See South Center Volkswagen for details. South Center Volkswagen, off Deerfoot Trail South at 24th Street Southeast, or online at southcentervw.com.
Catch all the action of the Calgary Flames live from the Dome without breaking the bank. You work hard for your money. SportCheck has a great deal for you. SportCheck Zone tickets are available at Calgary SportCheck stores for only $30, including tax and service charges. These are the cheapest Flames tickets available anywhere. Same price for all home games. Pittsburgh, Boston, New Year's Eve, all $30. Sportsnet 960 The Fan is Calgary Flames Radio. The Big Show, brought to you by The Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old? Lighten up your Christmas party and book at The Comedy Cave. Just $29.95 per person, including dinner and show. Click ComedyCave.com.
This is CFAC 960 AM. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. From Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Communications. We are Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We'll be right back.
Let's play our game. You know, like it's not like, you know, we take a lot, you know, for our own informations from past games, but every game is a different challenge. Like that's, and I believe that's the beauty of sports. Like, you can't sit on past results to try to figure out, like, you know, like the results of the next game. You can use the past games to do your own preparation, your game plan and everything. But, you know, like the beauty of our sport is that we're dealing with human beings, and on some nights they might have a very good night, on some other night they might have a tough one. So, like, you know, we're trying to avoid this by trying to help them prepare well mentally, prepare our game plan accordingly to our strengths, and after this, let's drop the puck. And, you know, it's coaching is just like a fisherman. You can have the nicest minnow. Once it's in the water, you know, it's out of your control. You just hold the line and pray the Lord.
Calgary, the boys on the Big Show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
That's Bob Hartley, who has something in common with Brent Sutter, who has something in common with Mike Keenan, who has something in common with Jim Playfair. All four gentlemen have coached the Calgary Flames in games in Anaheim. None of them have a victory as the head coach of the Calgary Flames in Anaheim. I don't think anybody's really keeping, you know, close detail on this, but it's 3,962 days since the last time the Calgary Flames won in Anaheim. Not that we're keeping track. And Bob Hartley will try and end that behind
the bench. Does that include leap years?
That does. That does. I save all my calendars, Pat. So then I go and I bring them out and I count. One, two, all the way up. And that includes leap years. Absolutely. And I've got some calendars with cats on them. I've got some calendars. Actually, one year was lost.
Hmm.
And I've got a calendar, the Sexy Men of Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
That one never saw the light
of
day.
No, never.
You're
ever
the
did.
Only one
no,
of the copy.
No, fortunately, I was July, which was kind of an odd picture in my coveralls and a pitchfork. But I've said too much.
It's better than the one in Lombardi is dressed as a furry.
Well, yeah.
He's a big panda bear.
Speaking of San Jose, the Flames are there tomorrow night. I don't know, you know, haven't won there since January. I think it's January 19th of 2004.
Yeah, we're going on 11 years now.
Yeah. There isn't anybody in this game other than I believe Marty Gelina was with the Flames. I'm not
yeah, he
sure.
Would have been with the team.
I'm not sure he played that game, though. I think he might have been hurt. But he's about the...
Well, and Conroy had a few points. I think Conroy had 4 points in that game.
Yeah, so I know. He never lets us forget it. I mean, I'm sure...
He's general manager.
I'm sure our phones will be lighting up here. Don't forget me and my big game. That happens all the time in conversations with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the Calgary Flames, it's funny. You can carve, you can, you know, direct the conversation any way you want. The Flames have had points out of that building and just haven't won. I remember, what was it, 3 seasons ago, where the unit, Chris Kalanos, had a chance to win it in a shootout, and he fell hard into the boards in the corner.
Is that the same one where Blair Jones had the really nice move and
yeah,
scored in the
Nick
shootout?
Hagman ended up winning it. It was after Nick Hagman was claimed on waivers by Anaheim.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. I think it was 16, 17 shooters or something like that. And Chris Kalanos had a chance to win it and fell into the corners. Didn't look good. But you're right. Blair Jones had a really nice goal.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, it's more trivial than anything because these are, you know, different teams, different eras and that sort of thing. But it is the second game in 1 week between the Anaheim Ducks and the Calgary Flames. And last week, it was supposed to be, in many ways, you know, kind of a coming up for an upcomings for the Flames because they were, you know, beginning to play the top teams in the Pacific. They ended up winning that game after falling behind 2-0. As interesting as the Flames are, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you if you paid close attention to the last 11 games of the Anaheim Ducks.
I haven't paid close attention to them in terms of watching them on TV. I went and took a look at the results.
Yeah.
But
anything jump out at you?
I mean, they haven't won a ton in regulation. They haven't. What jumps out at you?
Two wins in 11 games in regulation.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a pair of shootout wins and an overtime win in there. There is two overtime losses, 3 shootout losses, 1 loss in regulation.
No, they don't play a lot. They go to extra time a lot.
Well, and I was just going to say, the one loss in regulation was 6-2 to the Florida Panthers, mm-hmm. which is the only game since October 30th in St. Louis that the Anaheim Ducks didn't play in a game that was decided by one goal. They have all been close hockey games. As you know, Pat, to your point, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them have been overtime games. Now, they have the unusual distinction of having the mumps go through that room. And from what we gathered talking to Eric Stevens yesterday, it's a possibility it's still there with Clayton Stoner. This is a team that I suspect is going to be a little bit healthier maybe than what we saw last week, in the sense that Smith-Pelly will be back and I believe Beauchemin's available.
But if you take Stoner out and put Beauchemin in, it's kind of doesn't really make all that much of a difference.
Yeah. The other thing that is intriguing to me about this Anaheim team, they went out and got a player that would have caused a mini riot here last week. You imagine if the Flames went out and got Renny Bork? Or better than that, if they had signed Danny Heatley. I know they signed Devin Setoguchi, but if they had signed Danny Heatley, say what you will about both of them, Danny Heatley's a little bit of a lightning rod, even though he's from here, mm-hmm. played his junior A hockey here and that sort of thing. But, you know, Danny Heatley has been in hockey circles a lightning rod. Yet both of those players on the roster of the Anaheim Ducks, and nobody bats an eye. Emerson Eatham, formerly of the Medicine Hat Tigers, was returned to the American Hockey League to make room for Renny Bork.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the Flames. I mean, it's different. Teams are in different places.
Well, that's just it. They're in one team legitimately is knocking on the door
to
winning potentially a Stanley Cup. The other is in year two of a rebuild. Regardless of how positive the first 22 games have been, it's still
year two of
a rebuild.
Absolutely.
Right?
No, it is what it is.
And there's still a whole lot more opportunity for young players on the Flames to get opportunities than there are on the Ducks. I mean, when you go out and sign a Danny Heatley, even though it's a one-year good value deal,
right,
you're signing him so that he can maybe help push you over the top. And Danny Heatley's no longer the guy that's going to be a 50-goal scorer,
yep.
but he's unhealthy right now. He's got a groin injury, so won't play tonight. But while he's in, the hope is that maybe he can give him just a little bit of a boost on the power play. Maybe he can be a little bit of a foil to a Getzlaff, a Kessler, or a Perry. And, you know, he's still as dangerous from the hash marks in, and the same thing is true with, I mean, they're in the unique position. Only a few teams could do this. They could go out and bring a guy who is maligned in basically every NHL circle like Renny Bork, and they say, well, maybe the Ducks can make it work, you know? Like, any other team goes out and does that, they're like, what are they doing? But if the Ducks or the Kings or maybe the Penguins, the Bruins do it, you're like, oh, maybe it can work there. They're kind of one of those teams,
it's
right?
It's very Red Wing-like.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Right? In the, you know, I wouldn't say when they originally brought Dan Cleary in on a tryout, that was more he was on his way to Europe. I think, you know, they bought low there and it worked. But I think the last couple of Dan Cleary contracts have been like that. I think Todd Bertuzzi was like that for Detroit. Going all the way back, you know, there are those in Toronto that have that same reverence that we have for those two players for Larry Murphy. Yet they were able to bring in Larry Murphy and turn him into he went back to being a very productive defenseman. It's a luxury that those teams have, and I think you're absolutely right. I think there are only a handful of teams that can do that, and nobody bats an eye, right? Nobody bats an eye. Again, different scenario. Edmonton goes out and acquires either one of those. Well, we know about trying to acquire about Heatley. How did that go? But if Edmonton brings in Renny Bork, even if it's a straight contract dump or something like that, viewed negatively. Even a team like Colorado, who did have playoff success last year, I'm not sure that, you know, they had their opportunity to get Renny Bork, apparently, you know, waffled on whether or not to make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But again, does it work? It could. If it's going to work anywhere, if Renny Bork's going to bounce back anywhere, it's probably in that lineup. Considering the strength of centerman, the size of that team, and the style of play, Renny Bork's not being asked to be anything more than a 8 to 12 minute player, is that fair?
He's playing on the fourth line tonight. That's where he's slotted in to start this game. So, yeah, I don't think that he's being brought in to help them. Renny, we need you to score 25 goals for us, or else it's going to be a bust. I think that Bork is there. They're going to give him a shot. They're going to see if it can work, and you can understand that line of thinking. If you're the Ducks, you kind of have that luxury for a few different reasons. You're hurt. You're without some pretty important players right now, and you know what? If it doesn't work, they're fine paying his salary. It's only, you know.
Well, one more year.
They've got one more year, and they can pay his salary in the American Hockey League if they need to. And their cap situation is okay. They have the room to do it.
But they are a budget team.
They are.
The Anaheim Ducks are a budget team.
Bork, Raquel, and Smith-Pelly is what it might look like tonight on the fourth line. There might be some changes, but that's how they practiced
yesterday.
Might
be a little hard for him to keep up with those guys.
It might be. That's pretty decent skaters.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah.
But they gained a pretty decent skating Ducks team, period.
Well,
right?
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, they are, you know, we talked to Eric Stevens yesterday. They're the exact same position the Calgary Stampeders were in. Let's play all the cards on the table here. You know, what can the Anaheim Ducks possibly prove during the regular season?
Well, they've won two straight Pacific Division titles. They won the Western Conference last year. It's at the point now where it's like, okay. Yeah. And you know what? It's not as if they have completely soiled the sheets in the playoffs either. They had the disappointing exit 2 years ago in the shortened season when they lost in seven games to Detroit. But this past year, they go to seven games against the eventual Stanley Cup champion.
No shame in that.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that... Yes, they are in playoffs or bust mode, but you're at the point where you're like, okay, you can maybe see this team taking that next step. They made some of the necessary moves during the offseason they needed to maybe get over the hump. They brought in Ryan Kesler. They brought in Clayton Stoner. We'll see how Heatley works out. He's barely been healthy, so it's tough to tell at this point. But, yeah, that's kind of absolutely where the Ducks are, and they're with, what, five or six other teams in the NHL right now?
Yep.
LA's in that spot. St. Louis is in that spot. Chicago's in that spot.
Boston.
Probably Pittsburgh and Boston are in that spot.
I absolutely agree. Back to the local hockey heroes, though, for a second. Continuing to ride the wave. Four wins in their last five home games. Is that correct?
Yes.
They have won eight of their last ten. Is that sound? No, seven of their last ten. Not bad. I don't know. I mean, what are we supposed to bog down on sustainability again today?
Well, we could talk about it if we want, but it's kind of like I'm kind of just done with that conversation for now.
Yeah, I think, look, what's not sustainable, and we mentioned this yesterday, spotting teams 2-0 leads, and especially on the road.
Look, they've trailed after 40 minutes 50% of their games. That needs to come down if they're going to want to.
Or there's that number, sure.
It's going to have to come down if they're going to want to stay in the playoff race. They are 29th in the penalty kill. That's going to have to get a whole lot better. They've allowed power play goals in five of the last six games. That needs to improve. Yeah. They're the second worst team in the faceoff dot. I think there's a correlation to the penalty kill there. That needs to be better. Nine of the last 11 games, they've lost the faceoff battle. There are I'll cue on your point when talking about this. I think it's important for Bob Hartley to keep his team accountable to their wins.
Oh, absolutely.
And look at that's why I brought it up today. Not to say that things haven't been positive, but there are things that need to improve, and it's always better to be hammering on things that need to improve
constantly,
while you're winning
constantly,
hockey games.
Constantly.
Yeah.
The one and only legacy of Mike Keenan in this city that's positive was this, that he once made a line, and I think it's absolutely true. You can sometimes feel a team coming off a winning streak as their play deteriorates. They still win games, but you can see the deterioration of the play. You can often feel teams coming off of losing streaks in the sense they may not win right away, but their team play improves and they get better. And then I believe that to be true. What buoys me right now, it can't all be negative. What buoys me right now is the role of the young guys and the responsibility they're taking. What bothers me right now, what concerns me right now, is the goaltending / defense, whatever you want to call it, because I think it is intertwined. It just hasn't been what it was earlier on. And that leads to that sustainability conversation. I'm not sure that your goaltenders can both have save percentages above .940 all year. I don't think that's realistic. Their even strength save percentage, I think, was even better than that for a long time. You can't keep that up. You know, the goal scoring, I guess it can go away. I still think that when, you know, the right guys get healthy, they'll come back in, and I think they have something to add. But for me tonight, as Hiller gets the start, which isn't surprising. It was a big win for him against his former club. But I'd like to see one of those, you know, really strong road games that they got early on in the year. Because, Pat, let's be perfectly honest. Brad Treliving was with us last week, and he's absolutely right. You know, they can't take away the wins. They can't take away the road record. The road record is what it is. But they need to, you know, they need to try and protect it, if that makes sense. They can't all of a sudden give all those points back.
Well, and I think that what's important now, and this is kind of what we didn't see with the Toronto Maple Leafs last year. They got off to such a great start, and a lot of people were saying, this won't last. And there was never any improvement, and eventually the bottom falls out. Now, again, I don't know. So this stuff, you can't predict when the bubble bursts.
No, you can never predict that.
But what I think is important from a Flames perspective, and I think Bob Hartley and his coaching staff are very much aware of this, is they have to now get their team to improve, make the adjustments, and realize that they cannot continue to score goals while being the 29th team in the NHL while generating shots. So if they can make those adjustments, then all of a sudden it starts to mitigate the bottom falling out factor. So I think that's the most important thing. It goes back to keeping your team accountable to their wins. Keep on improving. Keep on getting more from your team. Keep on moving them forward. And maybe it gets to the point where, okay, you don't give those wins early in the season back, and you can start to earn more down the stretch.
The problem with analytics and the problem with statistics, as I see it, is you can dig yourself a hole. And by that I mean, you know, you look at the totality of the season right now, and here are the numbers. You look at the first 10 games, and there are the numbers. You look at the last 10 games, and there are the numbers. The middle, which is the totality, probably is, you know, representative of what you've done as a body of work. But talking to people in the organization and on the analytics side, certainly there are improvements in the last 10 games. Not solutions, not the problem solved. They just have moved in that direction. And I, again, back to that line. You have to be accountable to your wins, and you always want to be in a situation where you win and there's something to improve. And this team has that. And I, you know, talking to Marty Jelen on the weekend about it, I think the coaching staff really enjoys it right now because you're having enough success that you got their attention, right? There's no distractions. There's nobody who's getting fired, who's getting traded crap. None of that. And right now, I think you have more motivated listeners, if that makes sense. You know, it's good, but we can do this. Okay, yeah. We're having success. Good place to be.
Yep.
Take advantage of it, right?
Exactly. And take advantage of the 13 wins that you've been able to bank so far through 22 games. You've banked a lot of points, so use them and make it so that, you know, they're important when you get to February and March. And we're talking about, geez, it's important the Flames got those wins because look where they are right now. And you do that by continuing to improve and progress throughout the rest of the year.
We are live at Shanks up in Crowfoot Terrace tonight. Late game, 7 o'clock warm-up for you.
7 o'clock warm up, 8 o'clock puck drop. Sportsnet Weston here on Sportsnet 960.
We only really worry about the television.
Nope, all the big team.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about them. They'll be okay on their own. Later on this afternoon, Rash Madani. We'll talk a little Grey Cup with him at 4:25. But when we come back, the hardest single working man in all of sports entertainment, and that's Gene Principe. And by that I mean, does anybody work harder to try and keep your attention in blowouts than this man? I don't think so. I'm telling you, this guy is as creative as it gets. We are going to turn our attention to the Edmonton Oilers, who continue to be somewhat of an eyesore in the standings and somewhat of a political hot potato back at home. What do you do with this team? They fired the goalie coach, but clearly that isn't the solution. Gene Principe around the corner here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Home for Boomer and Warner in the morning. Jim Rome, Hockey Central, The Big Show, and tons of play-by-play. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The Calgary Roughnecks captivated the city during a thrilling 2014 season. And now, you can join the party by purchasing your 2015 season ticket for as low as $263. Visit CalgaryRoughnecks.com. Calgary Roughnecks. Come for the party. Stay for the game.
Thank you for calling Nest. How may I help you?
The Nest Protect smoke alarm is the bane of my existence.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that.
Are you?
Is there a problem, sir?
I'm being thrown away. That's the problem.
Oh, you're the old smoke detector.
Oh, boy, you're really on top of it, huh?
Well, we've been getting a lot of calls from you guys lately.
Look, I can't compete with Nest Protect. It senses carbon monoxide, talks to people so they know what and where the danger is, and can even message their phones.
You sound so upset.
Are you part of this?
Well, a little bit.
I'm in the garbage. These people are throwing me away because they feel so much safer with Nest Protect.
You know what? Maybe you could find another job.
Why are you telling me that? This is badgering.
You must have other skills.
I can make loud noises and chirp at night when my battery's low.
That's it?
That's the way I was raised. My father was strict.
The Nest Protect smoke and carbon monoxide alarm tells you what and where the danger is, messages your phone, and even lights your way at night. Learn more at Nest.com. Nest. thoughtful things.
At Jack Carter's, you can get a 2015 GMC Crew Cab 4x4 for $400 per month. Zero down. You pick the term, 3, 4, or 5 year lease.
Hey, yo, what's up with Jared? He seems a little calm. I think he started doing yoga.
Hey, Jared, pick up the tempo.
Jack Carter's, Canada's biggest crew cab dealer. $400 per month, zero down. Plus, I'll even make your first payment. Namaste, Trigger. Jack Carter, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, home of the $400 crew cab.
It's Black Friday times two at Tuxedo Source for Sports. For 2 days only, save big on selected junior composite sticks, junior and senior shoulder pads, and Reebok or Bauer helmets, just $19.95, regularly up to $99.95. The Black Friday sale, Friday 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Saturday 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuxedo Source for Sports, 2520 Center Street North.
Source for Sports, we know our stuff.
The game-changing Canon EOS 70D DSLR is now at Memory Express. This powerhouse camera features the revolutionary dual-pixel CMOS autofocus system, a touchscreen LCD, and a Digic 5 Plus processor to make taking crisp, perfectly lit pictures and movies easy. Plus, the Canon EOS 70D's built-in Wi-Fi transfers directly. Get your Canon EOS 70D today at 3 Calgary locations or memoryexpress.com.
Memory Express.
We've put a lot into the 2015 Cadillac SRX crossover. Enhanced voice recognition, hand-stitched leather seats, and 1.3 trillion gigabytes of information. Featuring available OnStar with 4G LTE Wi-Fi, the SRX connects you to everything on the internet from almost anywhere. Get yours during Cadillac Sign & Drive for $245 bi-weekly at 0.9% leasing for 48 months. Offer ends December 1st. Learn more at albertacadillac.com.
Shanks North and Shanks South are celebrating American Thanksgiving this Thursday. Shanks knows how to do it right because they're serving up Cajun turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, and pumpkin pie for $13.95. What would American Thanksgiving be without football? Three great NFL games are lined up starting at 10:30 a.m. Don't miss American Thanksgiving this Thursday at Shanks North, 103 Crowfoot Terrace Northwest, and Shanks South, 9627 McLeod Trail.
The best insiders, the breaking sports news when it happens, tons of play-by-play. Calgary, this is your sports radio. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Talking hockey in the afternoon, the Big Show with Rob Kerr and Pat Steinberg is only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Let me see if I can do my best Gene Principe for you. Somewhere this man is trying to find some shelter. All he's saying is the people around him, give me some shelter. That's all I need. This Oilers stuff is getting to be too much. Gene Principe. Oh,
that
from
is
Sport-
an,
what?
An epic fail.
What?
Gene, you could do
Gene,
so much
you
better
do it.
Than that.
Gene, come on. You're the master at this. What did I do wrong?
No, you were just fine, Rob. Hi, Pat.
No,
how are
don't,
you guys?
No, do not.
No, he's the master. He's the master.
Listen, I will say this. It was a courageous effort. Okay?
See, now you're being political.
That's
I like that.
The yeah. Gene Principe we know and love. How are you, buddy?
Well, good. How's everything in Calgary?
I don't know if you've heard. It's okay. It's not bad.
Well, I must admit I was following my friend Roger Millions on Twitter, and I think, and you guys, I'm sure, either have had the sound or will have the sound from Bob Hartley talking about, I think he wants his team to pick it up at the start of games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm like, nice. Nice problem to have. But, I mean, Bob and the team certainly are full credit for having a fantastic, fantastic start to the season.
Well, to, I guess, to steal a little bit of our thunder, you were on the broadcast on Saturday night when Elliot Friedman with the panel was saying that it appears the Flames have decided now to spot everybody 2-goal leads to make it fair.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's... I mean, the cardiac Flames, I'm sure. I couldn't, you know, I got to admit, I was. We did the game Saturday night, the Oilers-Hawks game, and I had seen our scoreboard. I think it was 4-2, the last score I saw. And then I hop into our truck, as you guys know, whether it's, you know, the guy across the glass or in your TV truck, and you go, hey, thanks, guys. Thanks, you know, guys, for all the effort. I go in there, and I see Cassie interviewing Curtis Glencross, and I'm like, I kind of said to someone, what just happened? Were they not? And then the story was told to me. And I'm like, well, just, you know, add another chapter to how to have a great start in Calgary. You know, and unfortunately in Edmonton, they have been spotting teams' leads but haven't had the ability or the success to be able to come back and get one or 2 points from games.
Well, you know, we'll get to the Oilers in a second. Because I believe you started when you were 9 or 10 years old, but you've been doing this for a while. Have you ever, was 2006 the only time these two teams were on an equal plane? And by that I mean either Edmonton was making the playoffs and Calgary wasn't, or Calgary was having success. Is that the only time?
Yeah, it seems like, Rob, you know, it's been so many years now. Was it the 1 year, I think it was, 06, where the Ducks came back to beat the Flames, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Right, and I think that was the year everybody was thinking, finally, these two teams are going to meet, and the rivalry is going to have, you know, kind of get back to, I mean, I don't think it ever get back to the 80s, but at least have, when playoffs are on the line and in advancement, that's, you can't manufacture that during the regular season unless sometimes it's late in the year and you're making a push for the playoffs. And even that doesn't compare. Yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, both teams have gone through their cycles. Calgary has, you know, they're more on the upside of the cycle right now. Edmonton is trying to get there and thought that they were closer to being there. And I hate to, you know, there's still 60 games to be played. Yep. And so I don't, you know, I don't, sometimes people get caught, oh, the season's this and the season, you know, there's 60 games to be played and the points, you don't get 4 points for a win in April and you don't get 4 points for a win in October or November. So, yes, it is a difficult climb for Edmonton where they are right now, but if they are able to put some wins together, I think it would do this team just a world of difference because I'm not suggesting that they should be fighting for top spot in the NHL, but I also don't believe that they are the team where you see them in the standings right now. But confidence is big in hockey and in life, and they have to try and find more of it if they're able to get this going in the right direction.
Gene, we all know how this business works. You do a lot of these. A lot of radio stations will call up and say, what's going on with the Oilers? Is the conversation you're having with us and others this year any different than it was last year, any different than it was a couple years ago? And I guess it's a long way to go. Does this feel different to you? Because I think the expectation was so much higher this year that maybe that hump had been overcome, at least early on.
Yeah, I think so. And I think because of the changing of coaches over the past, let's say, half dozen years, that or even a little bit longer, that I think they felt like, okay, now the coach is in place for a second year, and it's, I guess, like a business. Generally, the second year of a new business is better than the first one. And so I think they felt, and then along with that comes a Taylor Hall and a Jordan Eberle and a Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and a Nail Yakupov and a Justin Schultz that are all, you know, a year older.
Yep.
So the expectation is they're going to be even better. So for sure, I mean, I would say that, you know, funny, we were just talking about this morning, the Oilers are actually, and please, and I'm not trying to be funny here, because, but they're actually ahead of last year's pace. But the pace that was set last year with the four wins in 21 games is not the pace you want to be a nudge or two ahead of. So, you know, are things theoretically better? Yes, in the standings, a smidge better, but I mean, I look at Buffalo and people have been talking about, you know, what a terrible year it's been for them. And yet, you know, the Oilers find themselves in and around Buffalo and in and around Columbus. And we've heard about the difficulties of the Blue Jackets, their injuries and results. So, you know, nobody around here is happy. Nobody expected it to be like this. I would think if you spoke to the Oilers that they would say as a group, and I'm talking about the organization, that they should be or expected to be, you know, somewhere around 500, maybe a game or two below, but, you know, through 2021 games have maybe 18 to 22 points and just sort of be hanging around and in the mix, and they're not there yet. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know exactly if you're Craig McTavish, who's on the trip with the Oilers right now, what you try and look at fixing first, or whether you feel like you've got what you need, but you just need more from those individual players and as a group.
Sportsnet's Gene Principe is with us. He's in Dallas. He's a part of the Oilers game tonight against the Stars. Gino, you mentioned earlier, and I'm with you. Like, I don't think roster-wise and some of their parts, the Oilers are as bad as what they are right now, yet here they are languishing near the bottom of the conference once again. And that was the case last year. And you know, we've said this for a few years, that the Oilers should be better than what they end up being. Yep. So how come they can never end up being the sum of their parts? Like, what is the issue in your mind?
Yeah, I think the Oilers would give me a lifetime job if I could go across the street and answer for them. I don't know. I mean, you know, the other night, 2 goals on 2 shots, and so you're down 2-0 to the Hawks, you know, as the Flames were nearly came back from a few nights even before that. But, you know, one of them is Jonathan Toews on a breakaway. So, 2 goals on 2 shots. All right, well, hold on a sec here. That's a little bit deceiving when you got maybe the best or one of the best all-around players in the league barreling down on a goalie in his first shot in the game, and he scores. So, you know, I think that, to sound cliche-ish, yes, it is different issues on different nights. I think if the Oilers could sort of solidify their blue line and their goaltending, I think that everything else would gain some traction from that. So I guess if you had to pinpoint, and I'm not saying that the goalies are bad or that the defense is bad, but just the work that happens in their own zone, or maybe even if you stretch to the neutral zone so that odd man rushes are cut down, I think that would be the area where they probably are looking at in regards to just taking care of their own zone or the 100 feet from center ice back to their net. And if they could sort of solidify that, then I think that would go a long way. And I got to, you know, listen, guys, I mean, I see it, you know, we coach our kids in sports, and mm-hmm. I see it at junior hockey level or high school football. I mean, if you're not carrying yourself around with the belief that you've got the confidence that is necessary, it's difficult. And I said, you know, that's a life skill to have, not just an athletic skill to have. And I think that the Oilers, it is difficult. I mean, you can't expect the guys who are, you know, got a little hitch in their giddy up and are bouncing off their toes the way things are going. You do go into a game probably going, you know, what's going to happen? And I think the one point we could make, or I could make, I mean, you have to go back to the end of their 5-game road trip. They played in New York, and I think it was November 9th. That's the last time they've had a lead in a game. And I could be wrong, but they were trailing against Nashville. They never had a lead. And I certainly, one of your viewers can or listeners can text or call in, but I don't think they've had a lead in like 6 games. And it is difficult to chase the game over and over and over again. And I think that would be a point that I've just talked myself into that could be a difference maker. If they could jump into a lead, so everybody has a little bit of room for potential error, so that if it is 2-1, okay, we gave up a goal, we're in good shape. And Dallas Eakins made a great point the other day. He was talking about if they're up 2-0 and a team comes back to tie it at 2 and then scores that third goal, you just feel like it sucked the whole life out of you. But if you're in a game 2-2 and you score the third goal with 5 minutes left, now you kind of feel like, hey, we got this. And I just think that it's a game that's played physically, but just mentally, it's been really difficult on this team. And if they could just even win tonight, it would just make them feel so much better about themselves and about their game.
Gene, I know that you're not in the locker room, so you can't necessarily speak 100% to this, but everything that is said when it comes to Oilers players, Taylor Hall's been asked about it, others have been asked about it. When it comes to Dallas Eakins, they say we fully believe in our coach. But from what you've been able to witness, from who you've talked to and what you've seen on the ice, do you believe that there's that belief in the coach right now? Is he the right fit inside that room?
You know, it's so hard for me to judge. But I do, you know what, Pat, I guess the best way to explain it is, you know, I believe Taylor Hall, when he says to me that he likes Dallas Eakins as a coach, that he would be disappointed if he was sent away or fired. I've heard that from David Perron. I've had sort of, you know, off-the-record conversations with players. I don't – listen, if people are sitting there thinking that these guys are just waiting for the coach to get fired and playing like that, I do not believe that is the case. Many of these young players have had their slew of coaches, and I don't think they're playing, you know, we often hear, oh, they're playing for their coach to get fired. I don't think that is the case. I do not believe that to be happening on the part of the Edmonton Oilers. And I know that in speaking to some of the players, they felt bad enough that the goalie coach, Frédéric Chabot, was let go yesterday. I know that they want to win, and they want to win with Dallas Eakins. And I think it's just a matter of figuring out how to do that. And it's an open-ended question. And if they had the answer, they would find themselves a little higher in the standings. The last two games, they lost four straight by a goal. So I think there was sort of a, well, you know, we're close, and let's see if we can just get on the right side. But, you know, a 2-0 defeat to New Jersey, and more pointedly, the 7-1 loss to Chicago, those have sort of infuriated the fans who've long been patient, as we earlier started on 2006 in that last playoff run. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's one of those situations where the city needs a boost from their hockey team, and their hockey team kind of needs a boost from their fans, who have, you know, in the end, they've supported them the way they need to be supported, from a standpoint of they pay their money and they go to their games and they are there. And even, you know, against the Hawks, I don't remember what the score was, but the Oilers fans were trying to start a, you know, a Let's Go Oilers chant. And I know that at the point it was like around 4-0 or something. So I don't know, guys. I'm not sure, you know, if we talk in 2 weeks what we'll be talking about. But I hope it's something a little more positive, you know, for the Oilers' sake.
Well, surely to God it needs to be, because I worry about you. I don't know how many more ideas you have, because every time I tune in, you're always, I mean, your stuff in the New Jersey game, I don't mind telling this. I sent you an email the next day. Your work in the first period of that game was exceptional. What you had to work with, and the things that you, I mean, it's amazing how hard a dude works just to keep people tuned in, and you deserve a ton of credit for that, pal.
Well, I appreciate that. And the one thing I will say, and you guys are around a great organization, the Flames, when it comes to their, you know, their PR staff with Peter Hanlon and Sean Kelso and the players. I mean, the one thing I can say, and even in tough times, these players and their staff here in Edmonton have been excellent. I mean, Dallas Eakins is great for us to deal with. He gives us some great anecdotes and storylines. Am I in there following X's and O's? No. But for the job I do, the players with the Oilers, the staff with the Oilers have been great. So it's made the job still doable, even during difficult times. So I appreciate the compliments, and I would love to do much less of me and much more of post-game interviews with some happy Oilers, hopefully down the road very soon.
Well, the next time I sit down with Scott and Keith, I'm going to ask about danger pay for you, because I truly believe you deserve it. Thanks for doing this, bud.
Hey, no problem, guys. Enjoy. See you, Pat. See you, Rob.
See you, Gino.
Gene Principe. Hard to find a finer human being.
I like this text that came in. They should trade Gene to get a fresh start. The sadness in his voice is apparent. There are watermelons he can pound with a hammer in other cities, too.
Poor Gino. An appreciation for his work. We'll take a break when we come back. Another friend of the program, Elliot Friedman, now the host of Primetime Sports. Is that correct?
He's an occasional host
Primetime Sports. Is that what it was? I thought maybe they promoted
him. He's Mr. Everything here at Sportsnet.
He's Mr. Everything. So are you, though. You're Mr. Everything, too. Me?
No, I'm something.
I'm the grumpy old man. We'll come back with the grumpy old man and Mr. Something. Coming next, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
How Bell makes saving big better.
George traveled all over Alberta and wanted a network that could keep up. So he switched to Bell. Not only does he get amazing speeds everywhere from Medicine Hat to Red Deer to Fort Mac on Alberta's largest LTE network, he also saved $100 on his new superphone, which meant he had more gas money to travel from Medicine Hat to Red Deer to Fort Mac.
Switch to Bell and save up to $100 on any superphone you choose. Visit a Bell store for details. Bell, saving big just got better.
The Mercedes-Benz year-end event is on now. Take advantage of this season's most exceptional offers, with finance rates starting as low as 0.9%, lease rates from 1.9%, and cash credits of up to $15,000 on select models. There's never been a better time to get into a new Mercedes-Benz. Don't delay. These extraordinary offers won't last forever.
Hurry into your local dealer or visit mercedesbenz.ca for details.
Farley here. Did you know that Country Hills Toyota is celebrating 10 years in business? And over at our pre-owned department, we have drastically reduced every vehicle. All our used cars are on sale. We've got 2011 Corollas and Yaris's for under 10 grand. Plus, you get 10 months of deferred payments plus 10 years of free oil changes. Celebrating 10 years. Country Hills Toyota pre-owned department and always online at chtoyota.com.
Deferred payments OAC. See dealer for details.
Our time is now.
Now?
Right now.
Why now?
Because now we can collect Air Miles Reward Miles at Rexall.
Air Miles Reward Miles now?
Yes, we can collect Air Miles Reward Miles now at Rexall and almost everything in the store.
Now that makes our dollar go further.
And that feels good.
Get your flu shot at Rexall anytime, any day, subject to vaccine availability.
Paradise Bay. They have hot tubs. They have patio furniture. They have barbecue islands. But what turns your backyard into a total backyard escape? A swim spa. You can enjoy your backyard all year long with a swim spa by Arctic Spas. Swim in a pool in the summer, lounge in a hot tub in the winter. Paradise Bay has outdoor life covered with hot tubs, patio sets, and more. And now open in their new location on 12th Street Southeast, just two doors down from Trail Appliances. Visit goparadisebay.com.
Canadians across the country are...
We interrupt our own commercial to bring you the Ford Black Friday event. From November 27th to December 1st, get an additional $750 towards most new 2014 Ford models. Also, get as low as 0% APR financing for up to 72 months, or up to $9,000 in rebates, and up to $1,500 for loyalty and conquest customers on select new 2014 vehicles. Get the most out of your Black Friday weekend with an additional $750 bonus. Ends December 1st, so hurry to your local Ford store.
See Ford.ca for terms and details.
This is Life on Mill Street with brewmaster Joel Manning.
Mill Street Original Organic Lager is a clean, crisp, traditional lager that has a lot of flavor. It appeals to people that are looking for a great-tasting beer from an independent microbrewery. To make Mill Street Organic, we use really high-quality ingredients. Then we age it for like twice as long as most other beers are aged, so it's just got this velvety smoothness. And of course, it's certified organic.
Mill Street Brewery. Great beer lives here.
I don't want to get anybody sick, so I thought I should work from home today.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you get out of work for Future Shop's Black Friday sale, November 28th to the 30th.
This Friday is Black Friday at Future Shop. Our stores open early for fantastic deals on TVs, laptops, tablets, appliances, smartphones, and much more. Visit in-store or go to futureshop.ca for details.
Could it be the best Jetta ever and the most rewarding? We think so. Hi, Jim here from South Centre Volkswagen, South Calgary's VW dealer. The 2015 Jetta has arrived, an IIHS top safety pick. Check it out online. And it comes standard with Bluetooth and rear view camera for as little as $199 per month with zero down. See South Centre Volkswagen for details. South Centre Volkswagen, off Deerfoot Trail South at 24th Street Southeast, or online at southcentrevw.com.
Hi, I'm Heather Reisman, Chief Book Lover at Indigo, with great books for the discerning readers on your list. After a long and fascinating career, Henry Kissinger gives us World Order, his masterpiece work on the world our children will inherit. On a lighter note, for foodies everywhere, New York's Eataly is the ultimate food emporium. Now Eataly the Store is How to Eataly the Book, a sumptuous celebration of Italian food. Real books make the very best gifts. For all my Heather's picks, visit us at Indigo, Chapters, and Indigo.ca.
And now, the Fido Dog's at work.
Hey, Sparky, I was just commenting on your post.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I wrote, nice run, hashtag 10K every day, hashtag speed demon, hashtag jog dog.
Thanks, buddy.
But how do you do it? What motivates you to get out there and run every morning?
Hashtag... squirrels!
Fido helps you share your exploits with 750 megs of data, unlimited messaging, unlimited evenings and weekends, and more for just $49 a month. Visit a Fido store today. Conditions apply.
Purchasing and owning a vehicle can be a real inconvenience. Lexus of Calgary removes that stress with the convenience of at-home or work vehicle presentations, dealership Bodo massage chairs, specialty coffees, pastries, and more. Relax and enjoy the Lexus of Calgary automotive experience.
At Lexus of Calgary, it's about more than just the vehicle. It's about the experience. Let us wow you with our renowned complimentary VIP services. Right now, lease a 2015 IS250 all-wheel drive for $399 a month with $6,300 down. Visit LexusOfCalgary.com for details.
Unlike some garages, your Ford store is solemn? No. Humorless? No. Serious about tires. They know your Ford requires a precise? No. Unambiguous? No. Specific sort of tire. So they have Ford-trained connoisseurs? No. Aficionados? No. Experts to find the right ones for you. They'll consider everything, then make the right choice. Plus, they have great offers and won't be undersold on tires. So when it comes to your Ford, beware of parts and tire places unknown. Some restrictions apply. Visit your participating Ford store for particulars. No details.
The new Peanuts Public House in the Carriage House Inn is officially open. Come check out our new look, new menu, new everything. Except, of course, the peanut steak sandwich. That's staying exactly the same. What do you think we are, crazy? When you've got something this good, why change it? You'll also want to check out our fantastic daily specials, including Tempting Tuesdays with $2 truffle sliders and all the best sports on HDTV. We're open, and we'd love to see you today. The all-new Peanuts Public House, now open in the Carriage House Inn.
Jeremy, on how sedation and dentistry at Arbor Lake Dental Care worked for him.
Well, my wife brought me here, and I don't remember anything else except for waking up and phoning Jennifer and talking to her on the phone and wondering how my appointment went. I don't remember a single thing.
Arbor Lake Dental Care is a general practice with Dr. Michael Lettich and Drs. Chris Dawn and Ian Miller. Call 547-2938 or visit arborlakedental.com.
Individual results may vary.
Integral from negative infinity gears.
At Devon Canada, we have a fresh formula when it comes to your engineering career. F equals flexibility and freedom. C equals a career path worth taking. P equals possibilities. And V equals value, as in the value you'll add to our team. As one of Canada's leading heavy oil producers, Devon has the right mix of challenges, opportunities, and rewards. To learn more about why Devon is the place for your next big career move, visit formula.devonenergy.com. Your perfect formula starts here.
Pi Omega Distillation Column X.
On the NHL beat, it's the big show. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Normally, our next guest joins us at 4:45 Calgary time, but apparently he's the new host of Primetime Sports, so we'll lose him at the top of the hour. Although, we're at Shanks, and we have a big screen, and one of them's on Primetime Sports. I'm going to let you know right now, I'm keeping you a little late because I want to see you walk into the shot.
Oh, McCown will kill me.
He'll kill me. That'll be the best part.
Yeah, and I'll get. Do you realize the show starts at 5?
Do you know who I am? That's what he's going to tell you. Do you know who I am?
Yeah, I get. I don't even need to be late to get that question.
No, he wears. You know, everybody should wear sunglasses on TV. It's a daily salute to Corey Hart. Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet joins us.
Thank you for moving me, by the way. Sorry for the late notice. My apologies.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a longtime listener to this program, you know we've got nothing but space. I mean, we got flexibility out the yin-yang, which I'll use as a terrible segue into I want to ask you about San Jose because I think there's a lot of conversations about Mike Babcock's name, at least down the road, and where he might end up. But I'm beginning to hear some conversations about Todd McLellan and his long-term future. Is there anything going on in San Jose?
I think there is. Actually, the 30 Thoughts will be up soon, and one of the things I touch on in there is that I heard something on the weekend about the Sharks reaching out to Dan Bylsma, and I checked it, and it kind of got thrown away, as you would imagine. Mm-hmm. And then I started hearing more of it. So I went back to Doug Wilson. I said, look, I'm hearing this a lot. It's a tough spot for a GM to be in. I said, look, I'm hearing this. Is there anything you want to say? And as you can imagine, Rob, the reaction was negative. And he basically said, and I have the quote in the piece, but tell everyone that is not true. So he really threw cold water on that. I think there's heat in San Jose. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think if anything was to happen to Todd McLellan, he would be unemployed for as long as he wanted to be unemployed.
Yep.
But there's no question that if you look at the roster, I talked to one of the players of a team that has played them a couple times already, and I said, you know, what do you think? And he said, you know, they're not really that deep. If you look at their losses, they've got 13 games they've lost, including the overtime losses, and they've got 26 goals in those games. And 19 of those goals, have come from Brent Burns, Logan Couture, Patrick Marleau, Joe Pavelski, and Joe Thornton. So it's not like the top guys aren't trying to do something about it. I just think that they're in the middle of a rebuild here, as Doug Wilson said, and I think their roster's pretty thin. And maybe they're looking at it like they need a new voice, but like I said, I think if Todd McClellan, anything does happen to him, he'll be unemployed for as long as he wants to be.
Well, yeah, and I think it'll be measured in hours, not days, between employment for him. And that
aside, well, he might just decide to wait. Like,
yeah, well, fair
you
enough.
What's there at the end of the season? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
But I mean, I should, you know, kind of excuse myself to this conversation because I like the guy. I got to know him a little bit, and
yeah,
I just
he's a good guy. Yeah.
And do you find, because you deal with a lot of coaches, and I don't want to name names, but there's almost different types of coaches. There's guys that want to pontificate and tell you how they did this and tell you how I did that. There's guys that want to talk at you, and then there's Todd McCullen who wants to have a conversation with you and engage you.
It's like sports media, right? There's guys who want to pontificate at you too, and there's guys who like to talk to you. So, yeah, I mean, he's an easy – I mean, the tough thing is, like, you know, you guys, you're in the West, so you see him a lot more than I do. You know, I've dealt with him. I've covered quite a few of his playoff series. I've done a few things here and there, but I don't see him as much as you do. My interactions with him have been really good, though. I find him to be really honest, really blunt. If you ask a question, he'll give you an answer. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with you. It tends to be very conversational.
Is he – and I don't want to start picking his next destination, but I don't mind telling you that, you know, one of the teams that I have heard would be the Toronto Maple Leafs because of a connection to Brendan Shanahan back in the Detroit.
I believe if he was available, he would be a consideration. Look, I mean, how many places would he not be a consideration if he was available?
Yeah, fair enough.
If Toronto decided to make a change, I think he'd be on that list. If Edmonton decided to make a change, he'd be on that list. I mean, honestly, Rob, if for whatever reason Bob Hartley and the Flames weren't able to make a deal, he would probably be a guy Calgary would look at. I mean, he's a Saskatchewan boy. He's a Western Canadian kid. I think if the opportunity arose, he'd be happy to work with either one of those teams. I mean, if Mike Babcock doesn't go back to Detroit, the Red Wings might come calling because they know him really well. So I don't think he's going to have any shortage of opportunities. And, you know, the one coach told me once that you always worry when certain guys get let go because then your team starts to look at it and says, like, is he better than the guy we have?
Yeah.
And I think Todd McClellan would be on those lists.
I'm not 100% sure that you and I haven't had this conversation before, but I'll ask it again, and it's kind of the reverse. I don't know Doug Wilson very well. Clearly, you've talked to him. I've always been a little curious here the last couple of years of why he seems like Teflon. I would have thought that he would be a guy that would be, you know, also on the hot seat, yet it always seems to be the coach.
Well, I think he is on the hot seat a bit there.
Yeah.
There's a new owner. But you know what? Like, the one thing I will say in Wilson's defense is it would have been very easy to fire the coach last summer, and he didn't do it. And which, you know, he didn't make the coach a scapegoat at that time. You know, the one thing about Wilson is they consistently have a good team. You know, they're always in the playoffs. You know, they're not a cap team. They're a budget team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's done, from what I understand, a good job keeping them on budget. You know, I think they've also, in their history, had an ownership group that believes in sitting back and letting the general manager run the team. They don't interfere a lot. And also, up until this year, you know, they didn't have a lot of wasted money on their budget. Now, this year they have a buyout, Martin Havlat. It's really rare for them to have a buyout. And also, they just picked up 35% of Jason Demers' salary on the Brendan Dillon trade. I think everybody in that organization, not only McClellan, but the players, the general manager, are a lot more on notice since what happened last year. You know, we'll see. I mean, I don't know if anybody's safe. You know, depending on how they finish this year, I don't know if anybody's safe.
And I know you're not safe because you got to go and work with McCowan here in a second, but I do want to just a quick thought on Edmonton. You know, obviously this Battle of Alberta thing this past weekend was real interesting.
Watching the two teams,
And I agree with your point. The Flames have, you know, it almost seems like the Flames are spotting everybody goals, but that's another argument. What happens in Edmonton? What do you do?
Well, I think that they had a lot of soul searching on Sunday after that game on Saturday night. And I have been told, I've been told this by Craig McTavish before, and I believe it again, they want to do anything before they fire the coach. They feel that he doesn't have the strongest roster, mm-hmm. and they feel they've fired so many coaches. You know, if McClellan was available, would that change? I don't know, but I don't think that's what they want to do. I think they would like to make a trade. All of a sudden, they went from the core guys not being available to suddenly the core guys maybe be available. I don't know if I believe that. I don't think they're trading Taylor Hall or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, but the one thing I do think is they want to start making people uncomfortable. And I think that's why this story came out the way it did on Sunday and Monday. I think they want their